I invite you this Lord's Day and this Mother's Day to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. That is on page 979 of the Bible in the chair in front of you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, O Lord God, how we need your grace this Lord's Day. There are many burdens and anxieties, Lord, that we carry. Some have grown up with wonderful mothers. Some have grown up with unloving mothers. Some have been wonderful mothers to their children. Some have not been mothers at all. Many different situations. And Lord, we pray that we would see how Jesus Christ, how his death and resurrection speaks to every single burden and situation that we have. I pray that your word would be living and active today, that your spirit would be alive, that he would speak into the hearts of all who are here today through your word, by your spirit. Give me great clarity and boldness. May I be your servant, Lord, who sits under your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Mother's Day. For many, it is a joyful day. However, for some, it's a very hard day. Some have mothers who recently passed away. Some people never had a good relationship with their mother. Some people never knew their mom or always wanted to be a mother but never could be a mother. Maybe they never were able to have kids, or maybe they never found a spouse. There are a variety of reasons why Mother's Day can be a very hard day for many people. But no matter what kind of mother you had, great or horrible, no matter whether you are a mom or not, there's good news. Good news, because the gospel speaks to every single situation and every single circumstance in life. It does. Jesus is with you by his spirit. If you've put your faith in him, he's with you. You are not alone in whatever situation that you are in today. Now, we're looking at the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. It's not a new commandment. That is one of the Ten Commandments given to Moses. So this morning we're going to look at, how do you understand this commandment? How do you understand it? How do you apply it? And where do you get the power to do that? How do you understand it? How do you apply it? And how do you get the power to do it? So first, how do you understand this commandment? Well, did you know you're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments? Do you know that? Right? Jesus is the only one who could ever keep all of the commandments. Many people think today that when they die, God is going to ask them, well, did you keep the Ten Commandments? And if they say, yes, I kept the Ten Commandments, then he's going to say, okay, well, you're in my kingdom. It's not true. The Israelites were given the Ten Commandments after they had been brought out of Egypt. In fact, before the Ten Commandments, God says, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt. He brought them out by his grace, not because they deserved it, not because they were so wonderful. By his mighty hand, his grace. And then, after they had been rescued and redeemed, then he gave them these Ten Commandments. So you're not saved. It's not your behavior and whether you keep them or not is not what saves you. That's important. But also, each of the commandments give us a general principle that is applied. So, for example, when in the seventh commandment it says, "You shall not commit adultery," and Jesus actually says, "Well, if you look at a woman lustfully, you're guilty of breaking that commandment." What he's saying is there's a general principle that your heart belongs to your spouse, and you can break that principle even in your thoughts. So in our case, the fifth commandment, it doesn't mean just honor your physical father or biological father and mother. It means that anyone who's been put in authority over you, you are to honor. So that could mean anyone in church, in government, in school, or an employer, a businessman. Anyone who is in authority over you, you are called to honor. It's also clear in the Bible that God is the highest authority, and that every authority is ultimately responsible and answers to God himself. So Pastor Hausler read for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter says, honor the emperor, because the emperor has been given authority. There's also Romans 13:1, where Paul says, no authority is given except from God, and those that which exist are established by God. So God has established certain authorities. You may not like them, but you are called to honor them. You're called to honor them, even if we don't like them. Now, why am I taking you through this? Because I'm going to get very practical for a moment and say all of us as children, now some of you I know are grown, we have all different ages here, but at one time you were a child and your parents modeled authority for you in a certain way. I've been reading a book called How Children Raise Parents. It's by a man named Dan Allender. He says that every child asks two questions. Am I loved? And can I get my own way? Those are the two questions that every child asks. Am I loved? And can I get my own way? And he gives four different answers to that. Some parents say, no, you're not loved to their children. And yes, you can have your own way. You can do whatever you want. And he calls this the dangerous and demeaning response. He says that children learn their parents don't care what they do. He says theirs is a soulless and inhumane home where children lack a conscience and a concern for others. Usually they find love elsewhere by searching for it in a gang or a surrogate family. If your mother or father has abandoned you, or did abandon you at one time, you might have struggled with that as they answered, no, you're not loved, and yes, you can have your own way. Some parents say, yes, you're loved, and yes, you can have your own way, which he says is the indulgent and distant response, where these children lack strength and grow up knowing only a counterfeit tenderness. Their parents care more about public image and appearance than the hearts of their children. The children are confident, but they lack strength and conviction and character. These are the children who develop to be insecure because their parents had no rules. Then there's the rule-bound and dull response. Now, I'm taking you through these for a reason. Hang with me. There's a rule-bound parents and dull response when the parents say, no, we don't love you, and no, you can't have your own way. This is a conservative home, he says. There are strict rules, clear consequences, high demands, but the home lacks warmth, humility, laughter, and tears. And the children see their parents as gods or cold, self-righteous despots. And then finally, There is the parents who say to their children, you are loved, and no, you can't have your own way. Yes, you're loved, and no, you can't have your own way. Allender says that this is the response of strength and delight. It provides children with strength that watches out for their welfare and with the delight of being loved without conditions. Now, why am I taking you through those different parenting behaviors? Here's why. Because when we come to the fifth commandment and we come to the ten commandments, this is God telling us, yes, you are loved. You are loved beyond belief. But no, you can't have your own way. God says, yes, you are loved. I've brought you up out of Egypt. I've called you my own. You are mine. I've adopted you into my family. But no, you can't have your own way. What often happens is in whatever household we grow up in, and I know that we have all different ages here, but for usually what happens is that whatever household we grow up in, we think that God is somehow like our earthly parents. So if you've grown up in a household that says, that's dangerous and demeaning, that says, no, I don't love you, and yes, you can have your own way, often we think, well, God doesn't love me. And he'll let me do whatever I want. Or if you've grown up in a rule-bound household, you think, well, God is a cold God who just gives me rules to follow because he's like my parents. Here's the good news, because there is good news, that no matter what background and parents, no matter how they answered those questions, God, your Father, is committed to loving you well. Jesus is the perfect Son who, even though he was loved by his Father throughout eternity, gave it up and took the wrath of God so that you could enjoy his love. Or to put it a different way, a pastor named Kevin Twitt says, in God our Father, we have the only perfect Father who, get this, will always work for our good, even when it means thwarting our plans and telling us that we can't get our own way. God is committing to loving you well, even if your parents have not. So how do you show honor to your parents? How do you apply this? If your parents are alive, and I realize many perhaps are not alive, many of your parents are not. If they are alive, you are to accept the authority that God has placed in them over you. Treat them with respect. You are to obey their instruction when it's right and biblical. Be patient with their weakness. Your parents, no matter how good they are, if you have good parents, they're sinful. All of us. All of us are sinful. You have to find something specific to them that will show them honor. What makes them feel honored? You know, it might mean writing a letter to them and saying, you know, Mom, these are the things that I remember that you did so well when I was young. I thank you for the ways that you modeled love in our household. I still remember how you would be patient with me whenever I acted up. I still remember that you celebrated the triumphs and you were with me with the heartaches. If that's your mom. Now, what happens if they're not worthy of honor? What happens if they don't deserve honor? If you grew up in a household that said, no, you're not loved, how do you honor your parents? Some people never knew their mom. The Bible is full of examples of people showing honor to those who did not deserve it. Never was easy. Just to give you a couple of examples. In Acts 23, Paul is struck by the high priest, Ananias. At first he responds angrily, but then he discovers, oh, this is the high priest. And he says, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was the high priest. And he shows him honor, even though he didn't deserve it. That's a quick example. Where Abigail showed honor to Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. He was a wicked man. She was married to him and she showed him honor. Now, that is not an easy thing. In a moment, I'm going to show you how you have the power to do that. But just because the person in authority over you is not exercising that authority well, is not loving you well, doesn't let you off the hook. We're still called to forgive and show honor. What if they're not alive? Do you still have to honor them? If your parents are not alive, you still have to obey this command. You have to treat their memory with honor and respect. You're not meant to ridicule them or mock them. You're not meant to destroy their name or reputation. You are to remember that which is honorable, whatever values that they did give you that were honorable, if they did give you values that were honorable, and to pass that on in memory of them. If you've grown up in a household that was loving, if you have parents that loved you well, sometimes the tendency is to demand that they be in the place of God, to seek from them the love and the care that only God can give. And that is to obey to disobey when Jesus says, if anyone loves father or mother more than me, they're not worthy of me. You're not meant to worship your parents. But at the same time, if you've had parents that don't love you and did not model it well, you are not meant to treat them as if they were Satan. It doesn't give you warrant to hate them. One pastor, Scotty Smith, said, many of us are consumed with anger, hurt, and a victim's mentality. That is, you grow up believing, oh, I'm nothing but a victim. I've always been hurt in such a way that I can never, ever, ever be made whole again. We've never gotten over the fact that we were not loved well by our parents. The Bible's picture is, no matter whether you had great parents or terrible parents, there is hope for you that He can redeem whatever broken situation that you've come from and whatever guilt or shame that you have as a parent in your failings. For some of you, Mother's Day means I'm filled with guilt because I didn't honor my parents well and now they've died and I'm guilty. And the hope for you is that when Jesus went to the cross, He went there to pay the penalty of your guilt, of not loving your parents well, or not loving your children well. Some of you think, I've always wanted to be a mom, but I've never had kids. And for you, it will be a lifelong struggle to understand God's purpose of why. But the Bible is filled with examples of people who did not get their heart's desires and who ultimately God said, no, you cannot have your own way. There might be a thorn in the flesh where you may never understand why God is allowing you not to have the desires of your heart. When Paul wanted his thorn to be taken away, God didn't take it away. My strength and power is shown in your weakness. So how do you get the power to honor your mother and father? Which, and by the way, it says both mother and father. Let's not miss that, because in that culture and in that day, which was a very male-dominated culture, it would have actually been counter-cultural to say honor your mother. In Leviticus 19:3, it even says mother first. Honor your mother. The Bible has a very high view of mothers and of women. It is not demeaning. There are examples throughout the Bible of mistreatment of women, but the Bible is very much about promoting a high view of women who are loved, who are cherished, who are honored, and who have a huge role in the kingdom of God. So how do you get the power to honor your father and mother? How do you not become overcome with guilt if you've not been a model mother or if you've not honored your parents well? The answer is that God promises not to forget you. He is with you. And he has taken upon himself the guilt of our sin, no matter what that sin is. Did you know that God himself is a nurturer? Many people think nurturing is a woman's characteristic. But listen to what God says of himself in Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and the nails went through his hands, that's a sign of God's nurturing love for you. That's a sign that whatever mistakes you've made and whatever situation that you've come from, whatever guilt that you believe that you have incurred, that he has nailed that to the cross and he has not forgotten you and your situation. That he has a purpose, that his plans for you are going to be complete. And it's more glorious than what you can imagine right now. The way that you know God's nurturing love is because Jesus got his wrath. You realize that Jesus got the ultimate, no, you cannot have your own way. When Jesus went to the cross, or rather when he was in the garden and he's asking God, Heavenly Father, is there any other way? And he says, not my will, but your will, Father. The perfect Son who says, I will obey, even though I do not understand why. Because he got the wrath of God. He got the penalty of your sin. You can have the grace and the love and the mercy of God himself, no matter what situation you're in. Many people think, well, God doesn't know what it's like to be barren all your life. They think that God is distant and they don't hear. He doesn't hear you because he doesn't know what it's like to lose a child or to have a mother abandon them or to have rotten parents. But on the cross, Jesus got the ultimate, no, you're not loved. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus then knows what it's like to be abandoned by his father. Maybe you've been abandoned by somebody you've loved and it's left this huge, deep wound. And you wonder, how would I ever honor the person who's abandoned me? How would I ever have the strength and the power to forgive? Guess what? On the cross, Jesus got the ultimate, no, you're not loved. You're abandoned. He did that so that you might be forgiven of sin and have the power to forgive. Because Christ has forgiven you. On the cross, God in giving Jesus the penalty of our sin included the sin of all the parents who said to their children, yes, you can have your own way. Who didn't model parenting well, didn't exercise authority well. So if that's you, no matter if you've had the indulgent or distant response as a parent or a child, or you've had rule-bound parenting, or you were raised in that household, no matter what your situation is, if you think that no one has it worse than me and God doesn't understand, look at Jesus, because Jesus got it worse than you. That's why we call Jesus a sympathetic priest. He is sympathetic to your situation, no matter what it is. Because he died and rose again, he has promised never to leave you. He has promised to give you his Spirit so that you are not alone. Even if you've been abandoned by your parents, even if you've had deep wounds. The way that you treat your parents, whether they are dead or alive, the way that you treat your children, if you have children, or the way that you treat other people if you don't have kids, it says something about how you've responded to Jesus. See, if you've repented of your sin and you put your faith in Christ alone, then even if your parents don't love you, you'll know that God loves you. And that though it might be a lifelong struggle, you will not, in the end, hate your parents and dishonor them for not loving you. You will have the power to forgive. Or if your parents have always let you have your own way, but you know that God doesn't let you have your own way, then you will not grow up to be insecure about who you are or in later life. But you know what? You will find the strength in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's given you. Or if you've been a miserable parent, but you know that Christ has died for you, you won't be overcome by guilt and shame because you know that that sin has been nailed to the cross with Jesus. So the question really is not about you, what your situation is. It's not about whether you've been a good parent or not, or whether you've had good parents or not, or whether you've even been able to be a mom or not. The question is really, how have you responded to Jesus and to his death and resurrection? Have you repented of any anger, of any guilt? Have you taken your situation and said, Lord, I'm casting this down at your feet. I know I've not been a good mom, or I know I've always wanted to be one and haven't been able to be one. I submit this to you, and I ask you would forgive me for when I am wrong and when I've sinned, that you would wash me clean and make me whole in Christ. And may I see Christ for all that he is. If you do that, and you know that you're saved by grace alone, then you will not either hate or worship your parents. You will honor them appropriately as a fellow human being, a sinner who's saved by grace alone, who has flaws. We all have flaws. But that only God is truly God. And only he can meet the deepest needs of your heart. No matter what environment that you grew up in, no matter how you modeled authority to your parent, to your children, if you're a parent, the good news is that because Jesus has died and risen again, he is with you. He is with you in your brokenness. And you can sing this song that we're about to sing. How good it is that his presence is here among us. with one voice, with one heart, will sing that the Redeemer has come and he dwells in the presence of his people. May you find your hope, your encouragement this Mother's Day in Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, how we need your grace today. There are many hurts and wounds. There are many different ages here today. There are many different life stories. Oh God, but we thank you that we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust that his story is our story. That when he went to the cross, our sins were nailed there with him. Our guilt was nailed there with him. Our shame was nailed there with him. And that he has risen again, and so we too will rise in newness of life. I pray that, oh Lord, we would put our true faith and trust in Christ alone, that we would cast down whatever anger, whatever shame, whatever guilt that we have at the foot of Jesus and ask him not only to forgive, but to make us whole and complete, that we would have truly the power to honor our parents, not in our own strength, but in your Spirit's power. Oh, Lord, give us hope and encouragement in the gospel today. In Jesus' name, amen.